Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live, and we are very excited to welcome Nicole Daher. She is the founder and CEO of Success on the Spectrum. It is the first official franchise of autism treatment facilities in the United States. Autism is a brain abnormality, either physical or metabolic, that is genetically linked. It causes a deficit in social skills, a deficit in communication skills, and either restrictive or repetitive behavior. Success on the Spectrum offers the signature therapy known as applied behavior analysis. It uses the science of psychology to teach a child new skills to reduce negative behavior. Specifically, it's a rewards-based program. Success on the Spectrum offers additional services too, things like speech therapy, in addition to helping a child acquire verbal language skills. It also helps children with autism to swallow food properly. Occupational therapy is more about teaching life skills, but at an age-appropriate level, according to Nicole. Social skills group classes, they go beyond the subconscious approach of applied behavior analysis, and they focus on intentional interactions. Success on the Spectrum currently has 35 open franchises. And by the end of 2024, about 20 more locations will open. Nicole encourages more franchises as there is a growing need regarding autism services. She's located in Houston, Texas. Our pleasure to welcome Nicole to Close Up Radio Live for this exclusive 30-minute conversation. Welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's an honor for you to have me and to be here and reaching this large audience. I appreciate it so much.
It is an honor for us to have you. You're right, spot on. And we appreciate your being here and taking time as well to spend time with us. It's amazing. According to the CDC, as of 2020, one in 36 children have been diagnosed with autism. In 2002, the statistic was one in 150. Unbelievable. And I know that in April, it's Autism Awareness Month, Autism Acceptance Month, which is really, really something that we should be noting and acknowledging. You've won so many accolades, so many honors, so many incredible awards. Before we talk about some of that, let's talk about the services that you offer at Success on the Spectrum.
Absolutely. So a child with autism doesn't learn the same way as a neurotypical child. And some of them are nonverbal at all. So we have to come up with a nonverbal way of teaching. If a neurotypical child would hit their brother, you would have a conversation with them. Hey, hitting is not nice. This is why you shouldn't do it. If you're angry, this is what you should say instead. But if a child does not have the ability to communicate verbally, then you have to teach them what to do or what not to do in a nonverbal way. And that's where those reward-based programs come in. You reward the child for doing things the proper way. You give them other options when they behave inappropriately. And eventually they catch on. So it's more difficult than what the average parent knows how to do, because we weren't raised that way, right? And most teachers don't have that training in the school system either. So our training that we have is very specific to autism, to emotional dysregulation, to communication skills, And it, that very specialized training can help a child progress way further than any school system could offer them.
Which is really quite amazing, and it's incredible. You know, for our listeners, I sort of defined it a little bit, but you're the expert. How do you define what autism actually is?
Yes, it's very complicated, and we know now more than we have before, but there's still a lot that we don't know. But autism is a brain abnormality, and it happens as the child's brain grows. And it's a disease just like any other disease. You know, if your father had blood pressure problems, then there's a 50% chance that he passed that genetic DNA on to you, and you could develop high blood pressure as an adult. Or maybe your brother doesn't, something triggers that gene to turn on. So autism is a genetically inherited gene. We have found the markers for it. But we don't know what triggers that gene to turn on, what makes one child have autism versus their sibling didn't. We don't know what that is. But the abnormality could be a physical abnormality that we can scan a child's brain and see the difference of their brain from a neurotypical child's brain. It could be a metabolic difference where the brain operates in a different way than a neurotypical brain that you cannot see on a scan. Or it could be just neurological where something is just too many things are connected to the same place or reroutes the information to the wrong lobe of the brain. So there's lots of different ways that autism can affect the actual brain, but the symptoms present differently in every child. And so when you're dealing with the treatment of a child with autism, you have to take in consideration that every child you meet is going to be different and have unique needs depending on where the abnormality of the brain happened and how it is affecting the way that they can function in the world.
Which is essential, right, exactly. You know, applied behavioral analysis, I mentioned that briefly in the introduction. Tell our listeners what that is and how has it improved over the years, Nicole?
ABA therapy was invented by a famous psychologist, and he studied human behavior, what makes us do what we do. And he found that the functions of behavior are the same whether you're a child or an adult or an animal. There are basically four or five functions of behavior that cause a person to behave in the way that they do. And we use that information that he gathered from studies to learn how to change behavior. So if a child is trying to communicate with you that they want something else than what you offer them and they throw a tantrum, that tantrum is a communication that is trying to give you information. However, a tantrum is considered socially inappropriate, but asking for something else is considered appropriate. So we apply the science of behavior to our learning methods. And instead of teaching a child what not to do, we give them alternatives to help them learn what to do. And it's very effective. This scientist also discovered that punishment is not effective, and which is different than the way that we were all raised by our parents. You do something bad, you get punished for it. But in all honesty, his studies proved, his experiments proved, that all punishment does is teach a child to avoid punishment. It doesn't instill the desire to do things the quote-unquote right way. And ABA therapy does that. You reward the good behavior, and it establishes a desire to do things the right or appropriate way instead of in an inappropriate way. Now, ABA therapy used to be very black and white back when it was first invented, and ABA therapy kind of got a bad reputation because it did cause PTSD and trauma responses in some kids because it was ignoring the emotional needs of the child. Nowadays, ABA has advanced we've applied a little more psychology, and it's got a lot more gray area than black and white, which makes it complicated. But ABA can be done in a trauma-informed way, and we are getting better and better at this all the time. No medical doctor is going to do the perfect job, but if we can see more progress in a kid, and I see it every day, then we're happy to do what we do, and we want to teach kids new skills in a way that still allows them to have a very happy, safe childhood.
Which is absolutely beautiful. Yeah, it's really very, very important. Let's talk about what inspired you to even follow this journey, follow this path, and create this incredible success on the spectrum. How does how have you established, what were some of the things in your own inspirational journey that sort of pointed you in the direction of wanting to really focus on autism and create success on the spectrum?
In 2014, I got married to a man who had an autistic daughter, and I was thrown into parenthood, which I was unfamiliar with, and then having a special needs child, I had no idea what I was doing. I was completely out of the water. And she was attending an ABA therapy center, and I went through the parent training program, and it kind of made sense to my brain. I had taken a lot of developmental psychology classes in college, and everything that I knew beforehand kind of clicked with the information that they were giving me. And it made sense. It's so logical. It's so common sense. And I absolutely love ABA for that. Unfortunately, when my stepdaughter turned 7, they quote-unquote graduated her, aka kicked her out of the program. And I discovered that the majority, the vast majority of ABA providers only treat kids up to 6 years old. And it's easier to deal with a small child than an older child. You don't have the complications of puberty or a, you know, 12-year-old boy that's 6 foot tall that stands over me that I'm trying to tell him to sit down and he's looking down at me and I have no control over a child that's physically bigger than me. So it is more difficult, and a lot of providers just choose not to deal with that. And that upset me as a mama. It really upset me. I looked, and I live in Houston, you know, medical capital of the country, more hospitals per capita than any other city, and there was nothing. If I found a place that would accept a child her age, they had a waiting list at least a year long. I even found some places that would only treat children up to 5 only from a Christian household, and that also upset me. I'm like, why did these children get left out just because of their age or their family's religion or any of these reasons? So I created Success on the Spectrum to secure treatment for my stepdaughter and then invited other parents with the same problem to join in as well. And my clinic that I opened in 2015 was meant to be very, very small and really just a way to get my daughter what she needed, you know. But it grew very quickly, out of control. As you said, the rate of autism diagnosis is spiking and increasing. We're getting better at recognizing it. We're getting better at diagnosing kids instead of just pushing them off as badly behaved. And the number of providers that are out there are not keeping up with the demand. In fact, a study that I read said that if you add up all the kids that have autism that need ABA and all the number of providers that offer treatment, we only meet 33% of the demand nationwide. So tons and tons of kids that need this service can't access it because they're either waiting lists or there's just no one available in their area. So in 2018, I decided to franchise my company because I knew I couldn't solve the problem myself. It's going to take more than just me to even get close to meeting the demand that exists out there. So that is my new mission, not just to help my stepdaughter, but to help everybody's daughters and sons and try to create more access of care to these children.
which is really, really important. How does success on the spectrum differ from other autism-related services?
Oh, there are so many ways. And it's important for the public to know that the owner of a location, the way that a store is operated, heavily depends on its management. The vast majority of ABA companies are owned by private equity investor groups. And this is kind of a problem. In fact, I'm so excited to say that ABC News just released an article that has said exactly what I've been preaching for years, that private equity investor groups come in and they buy these medical practices and they're looking for profit. They have a duty to supply returns to their investors. And if those returns don't come fast enough, they drop them like a hot potato. And this is what's happening. We're seeing a lot of these large ABA companies being bought out by private equity investor groups. They turn a quick profit and they shut all the clinics down. And we're seeing big companies like Card and LME close down, leaving clients without treatment, leaving people without jobs with very short notice. And it's hard. It's hard on the families. It's hard on the staff. And there's no reason why companies like this can't make profits. It's a very profitable industry. But when you're mismanaged, you have high employee turnover, you have poor quality of services, your team is poorly trained. So I'm so happy to have introduced the first autism treatment franchise model into the world, because I think the franchise model will outlast all of these private equity-owned companies. Each location of ours is individually owned. I'm happy to say that at least 50% of the franchise owners that we have currently are autism parents or autism siblings, so it means something to them. The person who owns the clinic is standing inside, looking at the kids in the eyes, and when someone says, this kid needs play equipment to teach him how to do this and it's going to be expensive, the owner is going to say, yes, let's spend the money and get this kid what he needs and watch him get better. But a private equity-owned company would say, we're not going to spend the money because we need to make more profit this month. So instead, just kick this kid out and let another kid in that doesn't need equipment. And that's how the kids that need the help the most get left out. So we know that success on the spectrum is different because the ownership is better, the training is better, the quality of services are provided are higher. In addition, we have full parent transparency. When my stepdaughter was in therapy, I wasn't even allowed inside, and they used HIPAA compliance as an excuse. But as a parent of a nonverbal female child, I want to know what they're doing to her in there. I'm scared. If something would happen, she wouldn't be able to tell me. And so as a parent, we've all made the decision that people need access to their kids. They need to know what's going on in there. And we created a parent viewing room within all of our locations, and parents are welcome to come in and watch the live video feed anytime, unrestricted. Watch your kid getting therapy. Watch how the technicians are responding to the tantrums, how they're handling the noncompliance. And not only does this build trust in the parent with their providers, but it also teaches the parent how they should be responding to their kid at home. And what's beautiful about that is if a child receives consistent instruction, they're getting the same reactions both at the clinic and at home, their rate of progress accelerates even more, and the parent starts to feel more confident in their own parenting skills. And the circle just completes itself, and it's a beautiful thing.
I mentioned that you have multiple opportunities for locations, which is quite amazing. What's the geographic scope of success on the spectrum?
Currently, we're located or have open locations in over 13 states. The only states that we refuse to be in are California and New York because of restricted laws. But if anybody wants to open their own ABA clinic, they can come to SOS Franchising and pick a territory near where they live. And we have a structure where each territory, each location has an assigned territory, usually about a 3-mile radius. So anything outside of something that's already in existence is completely open. We need clinics in both city areas and very rural areas. We need location, multiple locations in the cities because the population is very dense. Autism doesn't discriminate. Rich people, poor people, black people, white people, purple people, Amish, Jewish, Christian, it doesn't discriminate. These clinics are needed everywhere. The demand is high everywhere. And as we open more and more locations and we do more demographic research in each of these areas, we have not yet found a single area that does not have enough kids to justify opening a clinic. The demand is just so high.
What as parents can you do if you know or you suspect that your child might indeed have autism?
The symptoms can vary, so it's almost hard to recognize unless they're very obvious. In fact, boys are 5 times more likely to be diagnosed than girls because girls have this innate ability to fake it, and they mask and hide their symptoms. So most pediatricians that are younger, that went through med school more recently, they will bring up a questionnaire to parents and say, how many words can your child say by now? And are they doing this? And are they able to hold this? And are they able to feed themselves? So doctors are getting better at asking parents and bringing attention to the symptoms that could present when a child has autism, which I love. But if a parent suspects anything, they should definitely bring it up to their pediatrician first. The earlier that you get treatment, the much better result you will have, because a young child's brain is still growing and very malleable, and they learn so much more fast than a child that is older. And so if you suspect anything about your child, seek a consultation, get a second opinion from a doctor if you need, and seek out the treatment as soon as possible. I can almost guarantee, almost, that if a child starts ABA therapy when they're 2 years old, I can almost guarantee that they'll be ready for mainstream school by the time that they're 6 or 7 years old. The earlier we can start them, the better the result is. It's so wonderful to watch a child speak their first words, feed themselves for the first time, tie their shoe for the first time, brush their own teeth for the first time. It's beautiful.
Do you have any success stories working with children? You know, folks love to hear success stories and positive stories.
Absolutely. Tons of stories. I could go on for days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But one of my favorite stories was from a boy. We had a 12-year-old boy in the clinic. He was physically 12. And mentally, the doctors said that he was probably mentally 3. And they were, doctors told the parents, he'll never be able to talk, he'll never be able to live on his own, you know, and his parents were older, so they were suggested, you know, make sure you have enough money put aside in a trust, because if something happens to you, he's going to have to live in a home, and, you know, it's, you're going to care for this child your entire life. It's not going to be 18, give him a blessing and bring him into the world. It's going to be a forever care type of thing. And when he came to us, we noticed that he was kind of faking us out a little bit. I would say something without directing it. I would say something in front of him. It wasn't directed to him. And I could tell that he understood what I said. But he had never spoken a word. It doesn't mean that he doesn't understand the words that other people are saying. But I think he was just kind of lazy and playing us a little bit. Because I would nonchalantly, like, throw something. Oh, can you pick that up and throw it away and just walk? And he'd pick it up and throw it away. And I'm like, oh, he's understanding. So we started better trying to communicate with him or allowing him to communicate with us. We started with pecs, which are pictures, teaching him to point to what he wants and needs, and that worked well. And then we tried a talking device, which is basically a tablet with pictures on it. And when you touch the picture of a toilet, it will say out loud, I need to use the restroom, so that he could communicate with people other than us. And that worked okay. And then we taught him to type. We bought a keyboard, a funky little Crayola keyboard with all kinds of colors. And to our surprise, this child started typing paragraphs, like adult language, full vocabulary, not like a child that you would expect, definitely not a three-year-old mentality, could have written a book. We were crying, and the mom was crying, and everybody was crying. But it was beautiful to know that we had cracked it. We had given him this way to communicate, and now this kid can go on to have a job and live on his own one day and be perfectly fine and happy in the world, even though he can't speak. He can still function and live independently. And that was a wild success that I love talking about.
That's wonderful. You obviously love what you do, don't you?
I wouldn't do anything else. It's just so personally rewarding. And all of our franchisees say the same thing. One of them approached me a few days ago and said, the profit is great and all, but even if I would go broke doing this, I would still die happy. And it's the truth. You just putting good out into the world makes you feel like a hero.
I can imagine. Absolutely. Beautiful work that you're doing. And I want to encourage folks to check out the website. They can go to successonthespectrum.com. That is successonthespectrum.com. Also, she has the YouTube channel as well. And if you'd like to learn about potential franchising opportunities, you can visit sosfranchising.com. That's sosfranchising.com. And again, for more information about this extraordinary work that Nicole does and the team, go to successonthespectrum.com. Extraordinary conversation, Nicole. Beautiful work that speaks to the heart and soul, that helps people heal, inspires them, connects them, uplifts them. And I know it does the same for you. And we appreciate you stopping by Close Up Radio Live today to share your story and talk about the extraordinary work of Success on the Spectrum, and hope we get a chance to explore some more, maybe hear some testimonials, things of that nature as well. That would be a real pleasure, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you today, Nicole.
I enjoyed it very much. Again, it's been an honor, a pleasure, and I would love to speak with you anytime.
The pleasure is all ours. You keep up the extraordinary work, Nicole. It really speaks, again, to the heart and soul and a reflection of who you are as a person. Nicole Dehar of Success on the Spectrum joining us here on Close Up Radio Live. I'm your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, we appreciate you being with us as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment with another celebrated guest from around the world right here for you on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, thanks for listening. Be well, take care, and have a great day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.